Missouri Bible Study Lesson Number 16, March 8th, 2017. You may think it's taking forever to go nowhere, but we're really going somewhere as we reach into what I think are more deeper things of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit of absolute objectivity, the teaching of the Word of God. God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. I claim your promise. It will not return void, but accomplish what you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it. Have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Thank you, and so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Robert T. Ketchum told the story. He said, many years ago, I had a dear Swedish friend by the name of John Lynn. He loved to work with children. One day when he was speaking to a Sunday school in a church of a fellow pastor, he asked if there were any children present who could quote the entire 23rd Psalm. Among several hands which were raised was that of a little golden-haired 4.5-year-old girl. My friend was a bit skeptical and asked if he really could quote the entire Psalm. Upon being assured that she could, Mr. Lynn suggested she come to the platform where she could be heard and repeat the Psalm. She came to the rostrum, faced the audience, made a perky little bow, and said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want," bowed again, and went and sat down. Dr. Ketchum said, "Well, she had said it all. That's all there is to the psalmist. If the reader can truly say today, 'The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want,' then it's compassed the 23rd psalm. With the shepherd comes all the rest of the psalm. Without the shepherd, there is little left." I introduced you to the concept that the second verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters, sees Jehovah, the shepherd Jehovah Roi, as Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. I pointed out to you that shalom, peace, which is found over 400 times in Scripture, is a key issue. Peace becomes the thing for us. Right now I have a pastor friend that is talking about doing some amputation of a toe. And all, he's got some major health problems all of a sudden. Everywhere I know around me, the physical bodies are breaking down. Some places the mental bodies are breaking down with Alzheimer's, dementia. The issue is, for believers, the Lord our peace. We gave you introductory doctrine on shalom. I want to go back now and pick up, and I want you to understand more of what it means. We lie down in green pastures. when we do these things. The issue of God. We're sheep in his pasture. In God's pasture. Philip Keller wrote that it is the special office work of God's gracious Spirit to convey the sense of the Christ to our fearful hearts. He comes quietly to measure us, that Christ himself is aware of our dilemma, that deeply involved in it with us. It is a fact in this assurance that we rest and relax. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of truth, and of a sound, is a disciplined mind. The idea of a sound mind is that it is a mind at ease, at peace, not protruding or harassed or obsessed with fear and forebodings for the future. I will both lay down in peace and sleep, for thy Lord also maketh me dwell safely, safety. The second source of fear from which sheep men deliver their sheep is that of tension, rivalry, and cruel competition within the flock itself. In every animal society, there's established an order of dominance or status within the group. In a pen full of chickens, it's referred to as the pecking order. With cattle, it's called the horning order. Among sheep, we speak of the butting order. Generally, an arrogant, cunning, and domineering OU will be the boss of any bunch of sheep. She maintains her position of prestige by butting and driving other ewes or lambs away from the best grazing or favorite bed grounds. Succeeding her in precise order, the other sheep all establish and maintain their exact position of flock by using the same tactics of bullying and thrusting at those blowing around them. A vivid and accurate account of these below and around them is given in Ezekiel 34, 15, and 16. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Ezekiel 20, 22. But I withdraw my hand and acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I had brought them out. This is a starting example, in fact, Keller says, of scientific accuracy of the scriptures in describing a natural phenomena. Because of this rivalry, tension, and competition where status and self-assertion, there is a friction in the flock. The sheep cannot lie down and rest in contentment. Always they must stand up and defend their rights and contest the challenge of the intruder hundreds and hundreds of times. I've watched an austere old ewe walk up to a younger one which might have been feeding continually or resting quietly some shepherd spot. She would arch her neck till her head dilate her eyes and approach the other with a stiff-legged gant. All this was saying in unmistakable terms, move over out of my way, give ground or else. If the other ewe did not immediately leap to her feet in self-defense, she would be butted unmercifully, or if she did rise to accept the challenge, one or two strong thrusts would soon send her scurrying for safety. This continuous conflict of jealousy within the flock can be the most detrimental thing. The sheep become edgy, tense, discontented, and restless. They lose weight and become irritable. One point that always interested me in the very much was that whenever I came in view and my presence attracted their attention, the sheep quickly forgot their foolish rivalries and stopped their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference in the behavior. This is, to me, has always been a graphic picture of the struggle for status in human society. There's the eternal competition to keep up with the Joneses, or as it is now, to keep up with the Joneses' kids. Any business firm, any office, any family, any community, any church, and any human organization or group, be it large or small, the struggle for self assertion and self-recognition goes on. Most of us fight to be top sheep. We butt and quarrel and compete to get ahead. In the process, people hurt. Here that much jealousy arises. This is where petty peeves grow into horrible hate. This is where ill will and contempt come into being, the place where heated rivalry and deep discontent is born. Here the discontent gradually grows into a covetous way of life where one has to be forever standing up for himself or for his rights, standing up just to get ahead in the crowd. In contrast to this, as the picture in the psalm shows us, God's people lying down in quiet contentment. One of the marks of a Christian should be serene sense of gentle contentment. I gave you a list of words that are translated for shalom. It's translated welfare in Genesis 43:27, good health in Genesis 43:28, all is well, safe in 2 Samuel 18:28, as well and safe in 29. Prosperity in Psalm 35:27, favor in Song of Solomon 8:10. Rest in Psalm 38:3, whole in Deuteronomy 27:6, finished in 1 Kings 9:25, Daniel 5:26, full in Genesis 15:16, make good in Exodus 11:34, restitution and repay well in Exodus 22:5 and 6, well or welfare in Genesis 43:27, 2 Samuel 20:9, pay or perform in the sense of fulfilling or completing obligations in Psalm 37:21 and 50:14, Deuteronomy 23:21. Translated required a recompense, Deuteronomy 32:35. It's given as perfect in 1 Chronicles 29:19. Shalom, the Lord of peace, is the idea of being wholesomeness and harmony with God. This is what we have when he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the quiet or still water. The first time shalom appears in the Bible is in connection with the eternal peace. In Genesis 15:15, it says, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Dying grace, dying with peace in the soul, the Lord's covenant with Abraham. In Judges 19:21, we read, so he brought him into the house and gave provender to the asses and washed his, I'm sorry, that's 19, I want 21. My apology. No, I want 19, I want 19:20. That's the verse in front of it. I'm sorry, I apologize. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street. Shalom was and still is the most common form of greeting used. We in the West say good morning among the Jews, shalom among the Orthodox Jews. Entering a home, a visitor would utter the benediction, 1 Samuel 25:6. Peace be to thy house. If we had the courtesy to use these kind of prayers, use shalom as a prayer, life might be easier, but we're so formal we can't accept the reality, and we don't want ritual without reality. Don't misunderstand me. we meet someone that's agitated, tell them, say, we're praying that peace be upon you. The house has been shaken up. Family's going through suffering. We've been trying to encourage a family we've got to know quite well in the last year. Had a tragedy of a son who's a Christian committing suicide Sunday before Christmas. Encouraging other believers, praying for other believers, praying that there will be peace in their home. They will make the adjustments and pass the test. Peace be to the house in 1 Samuel 25, verse 6. The occasion of the Father's revelation of himself as Jehovah Shalom came more than 200 years after he had revealed himself to his people as Jehovah Makadosh. After the death of Joshua, Israel forgot their Jehovah who sanctifies and turns to the God of surroundings. Heathen corrupts themselves with idolatry abominations. The Hebrew people forgot that they had been set apart for Jehovah's service. They forgot all they had suffered in Egypt. They forgot the 40 years of the suffering of their people in the wilderness. As God removed a generation from unbelief, he said, enter into God's rest. There came periods of declension and apostasy. America has lost its heritage. In the name of a three-day weekend, the haters of George Washington and the founders of our father, the liberals, brainwashed secular humanists in America, wiped out his birthday a long time ago in the name of creating President's Day. And now what do you see when his birthday comes around? You see just what you were seeing back then. The sales advertisements, Washington's birthday sales come down and spend. Greed and evil have taken our country. There is no honor. Today, my wife and I got to start trying to locate a lady, widow of a Vietnam vet that we've had some opportunities to encourage spiritually and all. We just heard that her and her son, who's 20 years old but has mental health problems, may have been evicted from their home and lost the home that they had. Her husband died last year. And they don't know what they're doing. Nobody's. It's strange. They worked very closely with a group of vets and other people for years. I never went to one of their ceremonies. They weren't there. I never went to things. Other things were going on. The couple wasn't there. But everybody gets old and everybody gets busy, and none of the veterans have followed through, evidently. After her husband died late last year. We last heard from him at Christmas time. I must admit that. We sent him a couple of emails. Hadn't thought much about it. Must have been going through some very, very rough times. People, out of sight, out of mind concept. My prayer that I might outlive Linda was simply because I knew that Christians would soon forget about Linda. Had a pastor tell me, we'll look after Linda if anything happens to you. I'm not knocking the pastor, his heart's in the right place, but I know people. They're too busy in their own world and their own things. Occasional call or something maybe, but we all do this. I have the same problems. Israel forgot God, but the thing we cannot forget is our God. We have to hold on to him. We have to find peace with him. The book of Judges is a fascinating book among the historical books of Israel. It shows us the alternating periods of sin, slavery, and sorrow. The people were forever sinning, and in their national judgment, they repented, just as you and I often do individually when our sins catch up with us. Then young Gideon came upon the scene during the nation's suffering under the Midianites, which lingered for 7 years. When the clear call came to Gideon to undertake the deliverance of Israel, he was in the field threshing wheat. Gideon pleaded his unfitness to undertake such a task. He was not a military man like Joshua. When God assured him that he would be with him and lead him to victory, he accepted both the promise and the challenge. In the commemoration of such a wonderful interview, built an altar and called it Jehovah Shalom. Judges chapter 6. We find Jehovah Shalom with him in concept. We read, "And the angel of the Lord," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, or first of God, the Son, I should say, became the Lord Jesus Christ through hypostatic union, "put forth the hand or the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of sight. And when Gideon perceived he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. It is yet an Ophrah of the Abbey Hazareth." Gideon's name for Jehovah implied that peace is not something but someone. I want you to get this down. Peace is not something. We often think of peace. Let us have soul peace. Peace is a person. It is God. Jehovah Shalom. And this is what most people don't realize. If we want peace in our soul, it has to be the peace of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, single fruit, nine manifestations, love. First of all, love for God. Then love for our spouse. Love for our children, if we have any. Love for our extended family, for brothers or sisters, siblings, cousins, relatives, whoever it is. Love for our friends. Love for acquaintances, impersonal love, integrity love, agape love, even love for enemies, joy, inner happiness, tranquility. Well, it may, oftentimes right now, much of my wife and my joy is tranquility joy, not a static joy. Neither one of us could physically dance a jig if we wanted to. Wouldn't have the strength to do it physically in our legs and things. Peace. Peace is the peace of God. It's divine peace. The peace that comes down from the God of peace, who is a person. In Romans 15:33. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. The God of peace is God the Father. Hebrews 13:20. For they could not endure. I'm sorry, it's 12, 20, 13, 20. My apology. Now the God of peace that brought us again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace be with you. God the Father. Jesus Christ, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We know that dwelling inside our human spirit, we've taught you this clearly in Scripture. Dwelling inside our human spirit, God the Father is resident. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. God the Father is living in our human spirit, which is the Holy of Holies of the temple of our body. We are temple of God, we're told. The Father is resident in the Holy Spirit. The God of peace is resident inside you and my holy human spirit. Do you understand that? When we occupy with Christ, Christ said, I came to declare, explain the Father in John 1:18. You see how important this becomes. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who is the Father in us, but the Son is in us, in the human spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells our body, soul, and spirit. He fights for our soul with our old sin nature and our body. Warfare is fought in the soul. Indwells the body, the soul, and the spirit. God the Father is the God of peace. He is not just the God of peace, he is the very God of peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very God of peace, God the Father inside of us, available to us. Look at Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us. The Lord Jesus Christ is our peace. He's within us. We have in us the Father, who is the God of all peace. We have in us the Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our personal peace. He stands as our eternal perpetuation between us. The judgment of God. The Father is totally satisfied with Christ's work on the cross. He is our advocate at the right hand of the Father. He is our high priest. In our souls, he is our peace. The personification of peace is seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is striking evidence of the fact that we have to think of peace not just as an attitude, but as a person. Christ not only preached peace and made peace by his shed blood, but he himself is peace. Peace for us, then, is not a feeling. A believer filled with the Spirit just doesn't have a feeling of peace. Peace for every Christian who is filled with the Spirit and applying Bible doctrine and enjoying the God of peace, fellowship with the Father, finds that Jesus Christ himself is peace. So it's not a feeling, experience of possession. Having Christ as our peace is the foul of the sweetest feeling, but the lordship of him who came is the living embodiment of peace. When Christ said, My peace I give unto you. I want you to think about what he meant. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. John 15:7, peace I leave with you. He gave him the Holy Spirit. My peace I give unto you. It's his own person, his own self. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Think about what I just told you. Think about what I said. Christ is our peace. Peace is a personification of God in us. So if we're filled with the Spirit, the peace of God flows through us because the whole Godhead, we're in active fellowship with them, whether we know it or not. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. To me reveal thy new and unutterable name. Tell me, I shall beseech thee tell, to know it now resolved I am, wrestling, and will I let thee go. I know thy name, thy nature, know. The name that God gave to Gideon, the new name that he revealed at that time, Jehovah Shalom. Peace. Perfect peace. We have to ask the question of you and of ourselves. And we discover that peace is God's wish. Peace is God's gift. Yea, God Himself has given Himself to be our peace. He wants our souls to live at peace. The Father's plan calls for us to be at peace. Christ said, my peace I give unto you. Secular humanism lives by Emerson's false concept. Nothing can bring peace but yourself. Human viewpoint would do it peace in the world. Jimmy Carter held the Camp David Accords and said he had brought peace to Israel. Only Jesus Christ can bring peace to Jerusalem, and has been fighting there ever since. Just like there was before. Well, there are lulls, the open battle. But the hostility, the anger, the viciousness is all around. Across the world, we see it. American soldiers now up in the areas of, I think it's Latvia, we sent troops into one of those countries up there. I think it's Latvia, we got some training forces in. We got troops in Poland training. 500 special forces on the ground advising people on the last major push battle, either in Iraq or Syria, one I saw yesterday, among the many places that were scattered out. War all around us. There will be no peace till Jesus Christ comes again. We have to find peace in our soul. We're on the battlefield or at home. The peace that garrisons our hearts. Remember, we used to talk about building the fortress of the soul. Edification complex, the fortress of the soul. So we could protect and defend our soul and stay stabilized. Well, garrisoned in our soul through the filling of the Spirit and occupation with Christ is the Father, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. And Jesus Christ is our shepherd, is the representative of the Father. The one who came to take us to the Father is our peace. The altar of Gideon in Judges 6:24, the Revised Version reads as, "The Lord is peace." How our lives would be different. How would everything that we do, how in our actions, be differently if we truly came to the Father? It is impossible to please Him, as they that come to Him must believe that He is. We came to Him and believe that He is truly Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace, and our peace will come from Him. We need to believe in the Father as Jehovah Jireh, and God the Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our chief shepherd, as Jehovah Jireh personified through the Son, in hypostatic union as the God-man, and we will believe the Lord will provide. We need to learn to believe in the Father as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. We need to understand the Father is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Just to sing, "Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal banner leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his armies go. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. The Lord my banner." We've experienced Him as Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord my sanctifier. Then we ought to be able to say with boldness, He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Cowper wrote, "They may assault, they may distress, but cannot quench thy love to me. Now rob me of the Lord of my peace." Singing, "Peace, sweet peace, the gift of God's love." This peace is wrapped up in the words. All right, first of all, spiritual peace comes to the filling of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Want two of it if you want points. Peace is provided by God the Father, Isaiah 45:7. "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." 3, peace was secured for us by the Son of God as a result of Calvary. Ephesians 2:15. "Having abolished in his flesh the eternity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for in making himself as twain one new man, so maketh peace." All right, when we confess our sin and get in fellowship, while we're living in fellowship, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. He floods our soul with peace. Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Only through the filling of the Spirit can we have these things. Galatians 5:22. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Nothing can forbid it. The songwriter's written a mind at perfect peace with God. Oh, what a word is this, a sinner reconciled through blood. For this indeed is peace. F.E. Marsh, and Emblems of the Holy Spirit. Gives us a group of concepts of peace he developed out. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 5. Now, I've covered this material in the past. I know this, but I'm driving home in a new way. It's real in my soul. It has to be with the things I'm going through and so many of my friends are going through and my wife is going through right now. Living one step at a time, following the words of the song by Red Harper. God is the procurer of peace, Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities and chastisement, and our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. He is the personification of peace, Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the publisher of our peace, Isaiah 52, 7. I hope this is driven home to your souls by the Holy Spirit, a unique and great way. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace. My eyes blurred on me for a minute. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Jehovah. That saith unto Zion, I'm sorry, thy God reigneth. My apology. Procurer of peace, the personification of peace, the publisher of peace. That's not enough. He's the perfection of peace. Isaiah 26, 3. Do you have peace in your soul today? Well, this is where you find peace. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. He is the power of peace, Isaiah 26, 12. And the fortress is a high fort. Isaiah 25, 12, 26, 12, my apology. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all thy works on us. The power of peace, he has to ordain peace for us. He is the promise of peace, Isaiah 32, 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. He is the perpetuator of peace, Isaiah 9, 7. Of the increase of the government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in order to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth. Even forever the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Why? Because in verse 6 it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We have to let Jesus Christ lead us day by day through the filling of the Holy Spirit who guides us. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They're living and functioning as mature sons. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our great shepherd, Jehovah Roi. Jehovah, my shepherd, Jesus Christ, is the great shepherd. As the good shepherd, he laid down his life for his sheep. Now he is the great shepherd. Hebrews 13:20, another God of peace. That's God the Father that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. The blood of the everlasting covenant is the great shepherd. He is guiding us to the Father, leading us to the Father. Jehovah, Ruah, the Lord, shepherd, is my personal shepherd leading me, must become the issue within our soul. Jesus Christ is our peace completely and totally. You say you're reviewing stuff you've taught us, we're tired of listening to it. No. How can you be tired of being occupied with Christ? With the idea of Jehovah Shalom, when Jesus left the ivory palaces and wrapped himself around the garments of our humanity, took upon himself frail flesh to die. His condescension, we've taught you the doctrine of his condescension, God the Son set aside all outward manifestations and badges of glory and became the God-man and came humbly among people. Condescended Almighty God, the Creator God, to become frail humanity. Take a human nature upon himself. Suffer all that he suffered and go to the cross and die for us. At his birth, the angels sang to the shepherds, peace on earth toward men of goodwill. All around us we see war. All around us we see increasing in military and armaments and all these things. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. These things should not shock us. These things should not surprise us. The League of Nations was conceived to outlaw war, and it passed a resolution, the Brand Treaty, if I remember, I forgot the exact, I think it was the Brand Treaty, 1925. They declared war was illegal. Nobody could ever go to war again. It was criminal to go to war. Boy, we violated that all through the years and all the rest of the countries. Why? Because God said there would be wars and rumors of war because of evil and of Satan in the world system. The whole world lieth an evil one, and sin among men. Chaos is the name of the system. The United Nations proves daily it is totally impotent to prevent war. In fact, countries use the United Nations to manipulate themselves around in their wars. You look at what we see around us in different ways. The chaos of the election of the last president of the United States. A divided country, they scream and they yell. Chaos is everywhere. The Word of God said, curses he that trusteth in man. You can't trust the president. You can't trust the Supreme Court because he's their people. You can't trust Congress because they're people. They're men and women, men. Adamic race is what's spoken of. Curses he that trusteth in man, any man. Our peace must come from God. Our hope must come from God. We read of children murdering their parents like I've never heard of before. Parents murdering their children. Husbands and spouses battering and abusing each other and killing each other. All around us, sin is becoming more rampant, more rampant. I live in a state where they've legalized dope smoking, marijuana, they call it, pot. It's good for you, it relaxes you. First, it was only to be a medical benefit. There may be some medical benefit in it, I don't know. Not a medical doctor. But people who are doing it, what we've gone back to the 60s with our latest generation, drop out and turn on. And where's that? Cocaine and heroin on the rise everywhere. Burglaries, robberies, mail being stolen. With people burglarizing the community laundry room, emptying the coins out of the machines, undoubtedly to buy and support their drug habits. They'd gotten a key somewhere to the door to it and got in there and had to put on new security, better security locks to keep them getting inside of it. But Luke 21:25 says, upon the earth distress, nations with perplexity, no way out, the sea, the waves, these are symbolic of turbulent forces roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. question has been asked. Is it possible for us to experience a world of quietude greater than Gideon knew, giving Jehovah Shalom a richer content than Israel's deliverance imagined possible? Is there a peace that passes all understanding? As one great theologian wrote, in all misunderstandings, from your heart and from my heart. A peace in spite of human sin, satanic evil, human passions of lust and envy, pride, jealousy, selfishness. The answer is, peace, be still, as the old hymn wrote, peace, be still. There is nothing so tranquil as the restful heart Jesus can create. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always, by all means." Peace centers in God. To be honest with you, when I tell you I do not know if I'll finish this group of tapes, and I'm not trying to sound terrible if I live for years on it, or if they'll ever be copied and sent out. All I can tell you is, I hope you get to hear these tapes. I hope they're a spiritual benefit to you, because the God of peace can give us peace under tremendous pain and suffering. Mary A. Baker wrote a beautiful hymn that I grew up singing called "Peace Be Still." "Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the skies overshadowed with blackness, no shelter, help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep?" Undoubtedly thinking of the disciples on the sea. And then that beautiful refrain, "The wind and the water shall obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace be still." That second verse. "Master, with anguish of spirit I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweepish my sinking soul. Perish, I perish, dear Master, hasten, take control. Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Earth's sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. With joy I shall make blessed harbor and the rest on the blissful shore." Was verse 3. Chorus or refrain again, "The wind and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, the water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and sky. They all so sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. They all so sweetly obey my will. Peace be still." The peace of God which passes all understanding. Jehovah Shalom. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace with sorrow surging round. O Jesus' bosom, naught but calm is found. It is enough, her struggle soon shall cease, and Jesus call us heavens. Perfect peace. I hope you understand what Christ means. What he has for you and for me, and what he offers to us when he says to us, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." All right, look at verse 1 again. Jehovah Roi, the Lord Shepherd, is my personal shepherd, and he shepherds me. Therefore I shall not want, and the first won't for rest, because he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In this time of extreme weariness, our minds are tired, our bodies are tired, our hearts are tired, our nerves are tired. We're physically, emotionally exhausted. Pain and suffering are all around us. Everything about us is tired and exhausting then. We live in a constant, ceaseless world of things as they are. I told my wife I should have been, 2 weeks ago, I should have been in the beds. Rested for a couple of weeks. But the details and circumstances of life make us have to keep going on. One day at a time, one step at a time. A thousand strange entities rise up in the streams of the details and circumstances of life and catch us every day and whirl us about. So many times believers don't know where they are or even why they're here anymore. Strange and mysterious providence crisscross our lives. One kind of an emotion has hardly arisen within our souls before it must give way to another kind. We know joy and sorrow at the same time. We received a wonderful grace gift, totally unexpected, a few weeks ago from someone. A letter saying that they were led by the Spirit to send it to us. We were enjoyed by it. We were joyful. And a few days later, I thought my insides were going to explode. From joy to pain and suffering. We go from laughter to tears. I watch the struggles of my wife and other people with their physical health problems. We encounter hate and love. Those are two sides of the same coin. The only problem is we see hate where it should be love often. God says to hate evil and love good. Fear and courage. We see people so afraid they don't know what to do. They pull the covers over their head and stay in bed, so to speak. We see other people show incredible courage to face the trials and tests of this life. Our life is the part of a head-on collision within the little things that we call me as we deal with the details and circumstances of life. We're tired enough to drop. And we don't have time to rest. We have to keep going. I accepted without any pay the volunteer responsibilities for locking and unlocking the community laundry room to keep people from burglarizing it, to turn on and turn off the lights in our outside lights in our building many years ago because we have no one manager living in this building. And they're not on automatic. Don't get paid for it, just do it. But I have people who come down and say, I need another hour to dry my clothes tonight. Can't be through till 10 o'clock, supposed to lock up at 9. My children must have my clothes in the morning. I gotta have my work clothes in the morning. They know the rules. I can be flexible about it. After sometimes do it. Trying to be nice to people and help other people. I know there are people that some of them specifically abuse it. Head on collisions with little things. We're tired enough to drop and we're hurting inside. We wonder, where can we rest? Everything moves with such lightning rapidity. I fairly seldom sleep more than about an hour and a half at night before I have to get up. I cry and I complain to you. I have other friends like that that do the same thing for it. We stop and relax for a moment. We're afraid the parade will be far ahead of us. We'll never catch up. I may have quoted this to you before. I quote to you again. It's a great quote by Dr. William L. Pettengill. Our forefathers took months to travel a few miles with an ox cart. We in this generation cannot even wait for the next section of a revolving door. And I point out to you Dr. Ketchum's, I think's example. It said how true it was. That is, this was some over 60 years ago, closer to 70. He says that three women in his hometown were injured by someone hurrying, coming in behind them and literally catapulting them out of a revolving door into one of the large business concerns in that town. I understand the pressures of life, understand the details of life. I don't live in an encapsulated environment in an ivory tower in some rich mansion somewhere. The terrific grind and the pressure upon a child of God in this day and age to try to live for Christ and support his themselves or a husband, or a husband support his wife and his children or whatever, and keep going, all the pressures upon him is by no means lessening. It is constantly on the increase. But the rest comes from God, and we must seek out the rest of God. I want you to understand something in wrapping up this class. There is no real rest without peace. One must have peace if he is to rest. The requisite for rest the shepherd provides is indeed in himself, is what is peace. We read Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. We point out to you there are two kinds of peace pointed out in Romans 5:1, peace with God the Father that comes at salvation. Then in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passes all understanding. This is vastly different. The peace of Romans 5:1 saves the soul. The peace of Philippians 4:7 keeps our hearts and minds stabilized. This is the peace of the 23rd Psalm. The shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, our chief shepherd, representing the Father, the owner of the flock, who was Christ's shepherd when he was on the earth, and was David's shepherd, says, he maketh us to lie down in green pastures, or pastures green. We're poor, we're tired, we're weary, we're hungry, we're just a pilgrim traveling through this wearisome land. We're struggling to make it over Jordan. Jordan representing the songwriters, the bridge of dying grace. And God says he will give us peace. God says that we shall not want rest. The Lord says, therefore, I shall not want rest. You shall not want rest as believers. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want rest. I shall lie down in green pastures, and he will lead me beside quiet waters. Took a lot of time. I've done some review and stuff to drive home to you the importance of peace. Every day we need peace. Every step of the way we need peace. And only God can give us real peace in our souls, sufferings and chaos of this world. Father, we thank you for giving us peace in the middle of chaos.